Hello and welcome to our Ely Team online service for Sunday, August the 30th. My name is Matt, I'm a curate in the Ely Team, and on behalf of all of the churches in our team ministry, I'd like to say that we're really glad that you're here with us today. As we gather this morning in both churches and our homes across the team, you're very welcome, and we're really glad that you are here joining with us. So as we begin our service today, let's take a moment to still our hearts and minds and to remind ourselves of God's presence with us and also invite him to meet with us during this service. And to give voice to our thoughts and our prayers this morning, we're going to use our opening liturgy. So please feel free to join in with the words in bold. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Faithful one whose word is life. Come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come now to our first song this morning, In Christ Alone, a song which reminds us as our service begins today that although we may carry many worries and stresses in life, our true hope is found in Jesus, and today we can know God's love and power at work in our lives, not because of anything that we've done, but thanks to Jesus' victory on the cross. So however you're feeling this morning, do sing or simply listen to the words of this song as we are led by the worship team at St. Mary's.
Since curse has lost its grip on me.
Father God, we do want to come before you today and worship you with everything that we are. Thank you that we are free. Thank you that sin's curse has lost its grip on us. And thank you that we are bought by the precious love of Christ. Please help us today to know that you are at work in our lives and to know how much you love and care for us. Amen. Next up, we're going to have our Bible reading, which this week is going to be read to us by Sally. Our reading for today is 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verses 8 to 33. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 34 verses 8 to 33. You might want to find this passage in your own Bible or on your Bible app so that you can read and follow along. Today Sally is going to be reading to us from the Message version of the Bible. And as we continue our series today looking at characters of the Old Testament, this morning Graham, one of our licensed lay ministers in the team and a leader at Christchurch, is going to speak to us about Josiah, who we learnt a little bit about during Shabbat TV this morning. So over to Sally for our reading and then straight over to Graham for our sermon.
One day in the 18th year of his kingship, with the clean-up of country and temple complete, King Josiah sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the mayor of the city, and Joah, son of Joaz, the historian, to renovate the temple of God. First, they turned over to Hilkiah, the high priest, all the money collected by the Levitical security guards from Manasseh and Ephraim and the rest of Israel, and from Judah and Benjamin and the citizens of Jerusalem. It was then put into the hands of the foremen managing to work on the temple of God, who then passed it on to the workers repairing God's temple, the carpenters, construction workers and masons, so they could buy the lumber and dress stone for rebuilding the foundations the kings of Judah had allowed to fall to pieces. The workmen were honest and diligent. Their foremen were Jahath and Obadiah, the Merarite Levites, and Zechariah and Meshullam from the Kohathites. These managed the project. The Levites, they were all skilled musicians, were in charge of the common labourers and supervised the workers as they went from job to job. The Levites also served as accountants, managers and security guards. While the money that had been given for the temple of God was being received and dispersed, Hilkiah, the high priest, found a copy of the revelation of Moses. He reported to Shaphan, the royal secretary, "I've just found the book of God's revelation instructing us in God's way. Found it in the temple." He gave it to Shaphan, who then gave it to the king. And along with the book, he gave this report, "The job is complete. Everything you ordered done is done." They took all the money that was collected in the temple of God and handed it over to the managers and workers. And then Shaphan told the king, "Hilkiah the priest gave me a book." Shaphan proceeded to read it out to the king. When the king heard what was written in the book, God's revelation, he ripped his robes in dismay. And then he called for Hilkiah, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Abdon son of Micah, Shaphan the royal secretary, and Isaiah, the king's personal aide. He ordered them all, "Go and pray to God for me on what's left of Israel and Judah. Find out what we must do in response to what is written in this book that has just been found. God's anger must be burning furiously against us. Our ancestors haven't obeyed a thing written in this book of God, followed none of the instructions directed to us." Hilkiah and those picked by the king went straight to Huldah, the prophetess. She was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hashra, who was in charge of the palace wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter. The men consulted with her. In response to them, she said, "God's word, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you here, God has spoken, I'm on my way to bring the doom of Jerusalem on this place and his people. Every word written in the book read by the king of Judah will happen. And why? Because they've deserted me and taken up with other gods. They've made me thoroughly angry by setting up their God-making businesses. My anger is raging white hot against this place and nobody is going to put it out. And also, tell the king of Judah, since he sent you to ask God for direction, God's comments on what he read in the book. Because you took seriously the doom of judgment I spoke against this place and people, and because you responded in humble repentance, tearing your robe in dismay and weeping before me, I'm taking you seriously. God's word, I'll take care of you. You'll have a quiet death and be buried in peace. You won't be around to see the doom that I'm going to bring upon this place and people. The men took her message back to the king. The king acted immediately, assembling all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and then proceeding to the temple of God, bringing everyone in his train, priests and prophets and people ranging from the least to the greatest. Then he read out publicly everything written in the Book of the Covenant that was found in the temple of God. The king stood by his pillar and before God solemnly committed himself to the covenant, to follow God believingly and obediently, to follow his instructions, heart and soul, on what to believe and do, to confirm with his life the entire covenant, all that was written in the book. Then he made everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin commit themselves, and they did it. They committed themselves to the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. Josiah did a thorough job of cleaning up the pollution that had spread throughout Israelite territory and got everyone started fresh again, serving and worshipping their God. All through Josiah's life, the people kept to the straight and narrow, obediently following God, the God of their ancestors.
Hi everybody. My name is Graham Biss. I'm a licensed lay minister at Christchurch. And let's just pray before we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that you will speak to us through it today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're carrying on looking at these Old Testament characters. And today I'm looking at King Josiah, who was the 16th king that came along in Judah, and he was just 8 years old when he came to power, and he followed two appalling kings. His father and his grandfather were really poor kings. They didn't really follow God, made a bit of a mess of their country, and God had a purpose for Josiah. He was prophesied as being a great king 300 years beforehand during the reign of King Jeroboam. So at a young age, he wasn't, was looking around to see who he should follow. And he wanted to follow the ways of Israel's most famous king, King David, seeking God, then purging Israel of other gods, and then finally looking to restore the temple, which had been neglected for many years. And that's where we pick up the story in this passage. And during the restoration, they find the book of the law, or the revelation of Moses. And many people, many scholars believe that is the book of Deuteronomy, one of the books of the Old Testament. And they find the book and they take it back to the king and they read it to him. And it's, for instance, in chapter 13, it talks about how pagan shrines should be destroyed. In chapter 16, it talks about how the Passover should be observed. And then in chapter 27 and 28, which is particularly disturbing, it talks about the wrath of God if his laws are not obeyed. And Josiah is appalled at how his ancestors acted, how they didn't follow the law. And he's really aware that the wrath of God is coming upon his people. And so he seeks guidance through the prophetess Huldah, and she warns of impending disaster, but has comforting words for King Josiah in his humility and in his penitence. He's really sorry about what's happened. So King Josiah pulls together all the people of Jerusalem and of Judea, great and small, and he reads the book of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, to them. And together they repent of the things that they've done wrong, and they look to obey God's covenant with them, and look to renew his covenant, to follow his commands. And that's what they did throughout Josiah's reign. So I want to contrast the old covenant that King Josiah renews with God and the new covenant that's available to us through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And I've got four points that I want to look at and how King Josiah can help us with those. So the first is seeking the right way, finding the right people to follow in our lives. King Josiah, even from a young age as the king, was surrounded by lots of people, lots of officials. We hear about them in this passage. There was this royal secretary, the mayor of the city, the royal historian. We hear about his personal aide. We hear about foremen who are supervising the work on the temple, masons, accountants, overseers, all sorts of people, all sorts of officials who that he could have followed. But he decides that he's going to follow as a king, King David, the famous King David, and how he followed God, and also Hezekiah, his great grandfather. Now, neither of these kings were perfect, as we know. They certainly had their issues, but they did, as hard as they could, try to follow God and his ways. And it's really important that as people here at this church, we try and look for the right people to follow. And we're very lucky here. We've got Chris, we've got Matt, we've got Stephen, we've got Ruth, we've got lots of other people who live their life for God and are good examples for us to follow. I mean, Chris the Vicar, he's a West Ham fan, but nevertheless, he's a great guy to follow. And he's got such wisdom and we can see how he lives his life. And that's great for us all. So that's the first point I wanted to make. It's really good to follow the right people, to find people to sort of follow and be like. But ultimately, as a Christian, the most important thing is to see what Jesus did and see how he lived. He was the supreme example. He was God's son. And in 1 John 2, verse 6, it says this. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And if you read the Gospels of Jesus, you read about his relationship with God, how good that was, how frequently they spent time together. Jesus' teaching, which was beautiful and full of wisdom. His compassion for people, the way he served people, the way he healed people. His love for everyone, including the lost, including those people who were unclean. How he died for us all, just gave his life for us all. He is beautiful. And his teaching and the life he wants us to lead as his followers is really wonderful. And it's something we all want to try and live up to. So that's the second point I wanted to make, that it's really good to look at how Jesus lived and follow him. The third point I want to make is about this covenant that King Josiah renewed with God. A covenant is a solemn promise, and God made a number of covenants over the years, over the Old Testament, with a number of people. So with Noah, he promised that he wouldn't destroy people anymore after the flood. With Abraham, he promised him that he would have descendants, great numbers of descendants, and he would give him a land to inherit. And with Moses had a covenant with God. God gave him a whole bunch of commands to relay to the people. And if they obeyed those commands, then their blessings would follow. And David, King David himself, God made a covenant with King David that he would give him ancestors forever. And you can see what happens when we respond to God. We say sorry for things that we've done wrong. So King Josiah was really sorry for what his people had done in the past and what he had done. Really sad about what happened. Genuinely wanted to change things. And God really responded to that. We know after he'd made that covenant, his reign was with God, and the people were blessed during that reign. And we can make a new covenant with God through the death of Jesus. All the things that we all do wrong, all the false gods that we worship, all the sins that we commit, all the things that we go off the rails about, we can come to God, and rather than facing his wrath, Jesus has poured out his blood for us on the cross and has covered the wrath of God with his blood. And turning to Jesus and saying sorry in this new way, this new covenant way of saying sorry to Jesus, is really life transforming. It really can make a real difference to our lives, how we can face up to the things that we've done wrong, and we can become more like Jesus. So that's the third point, this new covenant way of saying sorry to God through Jesus that's available to us. And the fourth point is about Jesus giving us direct access to God. Now, Josiah, in this passage that we've read, consults with Huldah, the prophetess, when he needs to know what God thinks about things. And interestingly, there was another great prophet that lived during King Josiah's time as king, Jeremiah, who in fact was the son of the high priest at the time. And he was another great prophet that was able to speak God's message to the people. But through Jesus' death on the cross and what he's done for us, if we turn to him, he gives us direct access to God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's a new way for us to keep God's commands, like King Josiah. King Josiah promised with his whole heart and his soul to follow the commands, and his people did the same. And with the Holy Spirit to help us, he gives us a new power to follow his teaching with our heart and our soul and all our strength. And that's because when we first realize that Jesus has died for our sins, and we first feel his love, we find that we want to obey him. We want to follow him because we love him. We want to do these things for him. And also, with this direct access, we can sit in his presence. We can sit in God's presence, sit at his feet. We can sit at the feet of this beautiful God. We can open our hearts to him. And we can reign with God like King Josiah. Amen.
Thank you, Graham, for your word to us today and for your encouragement to seek and follow God, just as King Josiah did. Thank you too for the challenge to both lead and learn from others as we are on the journey together of becoming more like Jesus. Well, now, as we continue to reflect on Graham's message to us, and as we seek to walk forward expectantly with God, we're going to turn to our second song for this morning, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here, which really is a prayer inviting God to come and to be at work in our lives, to help us to keep his commands of all of our heart and soul, so that we can reign with God just like King Josiah. You might like to sing along to this song, or simply use this time to be still and to reflect and to seek God's call on your own life.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare, you're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
There's nothing
So Holy Spirit, we do want to welcome you to be in our lives. We pray that you would change us and mould us into the image of Christ. Help us to live lives that honour you and give you the glory. Amen. Well, we turn now to a time of confession, when we have the chance to confess to God the times when we haven't followed him fully with our whole hearts, and those moments when we've turned away from him and his love. So if you'd like to use these words to make a prayer of confession, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. And we pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we now affirm our faith using the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, if you'd like to join in with the words in bold, please feel free to do this. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say together, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. I'm going to hand over now to Rachel from St. Mary's, who's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession today.
Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for loving and caring for us. We offer our love and thanks to you this morning by joining together to pray to you through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Give us joy in your heart as we pray. We know that you hear us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask you to bless our Queen. We ask that you bless our Ely Diocese and the leaders of all the churches and the government in cooperating to promote the well-being and stability of all who live in it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Lord, give hope and strength to those who have contracted COVID-19. We give thanks to the medical and lay people who are treating and supporting them. Open our hearts to all those in our parish and elsewhere who need help and friendship. We thank you for the goodness and giving of so many in our communities who reflect your teachings in the love and care they show daily in their words and deeds to others. They do not want or look for any thanks except the knowledge that they do your will. Help us to mirror them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As Josiah, let us proclaim, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, let us bring ourselves to you and encourage faith in others. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel, for leading our intercessions today. And we gather all of our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please feel free to join in with this modern version of the prayer or to pray the more traditional version at home. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for you to join in with, and this week it is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. This final hymn encourages us to offer up our lives to God in response to all that he has done for us, and to share Christ in all that we do, just as Josiah did as he reminded his people of what it meant to follow God. So you might want to sing this song or simply use it as a prayer to meditate on the words and to make this your own prayer as you move forward from today.
that I may never seek. So much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we born to eternal life.
We thank you, Lord, that when we offer up our lives to you, we put them into the very best hands. And although we don't have much to offer you, we give you ourselves today, Lord Jesus. We give you our lives, our hopes and our dreams, everything that we are, and we pray that you would work through us to make your peace, love, pardon, hope and joy known to the world. Amen. Well, as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, I have two quick notices to share with you. First of all, a notice to encourage you that many of the churches in the Ely team have either started to reopen or are planning to do so in the near future. If you don't know what's happening at your local team church, then do contact your church wardens, who will be able to advise you, or alternatively contact the church office at St Mary's by emailing office@stmarysely.org or calling 01353 659 550 and leaving a message so that the office team will be able to put you in touch with the church wardens at your local team church. And just a quick reminder that as we draw towards the end of August and we enter September, St Mary's Church in Ely will be running weekly services at 8:30, 9:45 and 11 a.m. But you will need to book in for these services via the church website. That's www.stmarysely.org or by calling the church office and leaving a voice message on 01353 659 550. And of course, if you can't get out to church next Sunday or you don't feel ready to go out yet, there'll be an online service for you to join in with, so do tune in again on our St Mary's YouTube channel. And our second notice is really a big thank you to those of you who've continued to support us financially over the past few weeks. We are very thankful that your generosity has allowed our ministry to continue throughout the lockdown, and your contributions have also allowed our church to go on ministering as we look to the future. If you would like to find out more about giving to any of the churches that make up the Ely team during this period, in the first instance, please contact the St Mary's office and then we'll be able to give you further instructions about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely team. So as our service ends today, don't forget that you can find out all the latest details of what's happening over the next week by visiting the St Mary's website. That's www.stmarysely.org. Do look out for our midweek study video, which will be published online from Monday morning. And as ever, if you have any pastoral concerns or practical needs, please do contact the church office and we'll do our very best to help you out. But for now, as we head out into the rest of our days and the week ahead, a final prayer of blessing that I'm going to pray over us. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.